Discover 7 Ways Your Soul Holds the Key to Living Your Purpose by Barbara Bradshaw. Introduction. Why is it important to discover and live your purpose? Are you feeling emotional pain or vulnerability, despair, helplessness, guilt, fear, anxiety, loneliness, apathy, confusion, or a disturbed sense of integrity, but you don't know why? Are you finding yourself depending more and more on drugs or alcohol, food, gambling, or other coping mechanisms to numb your feelings? Are you unable to take action or move forward? Do you feel dissatisfied with your life or vocation? Do you experience recurring themes that you aren't able to resolve? If one or more of these conditions applies to you, chances are that you may be experiencing an existential crisis, because these are all symptoms of lacking fulfillment, meaning, or purpose in your life. And this may have been triggered within you over the past couple of years as we've experienced the effects of the global pandemic due to the coronavirus. What is an existential crisis? It's a state of disharmony experienced when people question the foundation upon which they built their lives and question whether their lives have any meaning, purpose, or value. It's when you question the meaning of your existence. This typically occurs when you experience some sort of conflict or feel discontentment, which propels you to look within and examine yourself and your life. Types of conflict or discontentment may be feeling dissatisfaction with yourself or your life, experiencing guilt for something you did or didn't do, bottling up your emotions, or feeling isolated from others and socially unfulfilled. Experiencing the effects of the pandemic certainly qualifies as a type of conflict or discontentment that has propelled many people to look within and examine themselves and their lives. The major changes forced upon us during this time have resulted in grieving the loss of jobs, income, financial security, homes, friends, family members, and social connection. We lost our freedom to go to the places that have brought us joy, to extracurricular activities, restaurants, entertainment venues, shopping, social gatherings, or places of worship. Many were not able to go to their place of employment, so they had to work remotely from home. They've mourned the camaraderie of collaborating with their coworkers. Children haven't been able to attend school, so they've had to be homeschooled. They've missed being with their friends and the routine that the normal pre-pandemic school day and school year had provided. Many lost the freedom to make their own choices. There have been disagreements on how to be most effective in combating the pandemic. The use of masks, vaccinations, and social distancing have been disputed because of varying opinions about them. It's been challenging to determine which sources are providing facts and truth and which ones are spreading disinformation. How do we know who to trust, who to listen to? Which guidelines, rules, and regulations do we enforce or comply with? Conflicting viewpoints have caused family members and friends to take sides and place judgment on each other. There's a difference in opinion of what each person's responsibility is for doing their part to stop the spread of the virus. All of this has caused a crisis of freedom and responsibility. The inability to connect in person, socially with their family members and friends during lockdowns for such extended time periods has been difficult. Holidays were especially difficult in the first year of the pandemic when social gatherings were very limited. This has been especially challenging for the elderly. We are social beings, and relationships with those we love most often bring us satisfaction and inner joy. And when those relationships can't be nurtured, especially with in-person contact, a crisis of isolation, disconnection, and loneliness can develop. Life can feel pointless. By now, most people know someone who has either experienced severe life-threatening symptoms from the virus or who has died from it. They've grieved not being able to be with their loved ones when they've died a lonely death or were all alone in the hospital fighting to stay alive. Experiencing a significant health challenge ourselves, facing our own death, or having a loved one die causes a crisis of death and mortality. It forces us to question what happens to us after we die. Dealing with the emotional effects of the pandemic has also been challenging. It has stirred up fear, anxiety, boredom, and depression. The National Institute on Drug Abuse reports that researchers have observed increases in substance abuse and drug overdoses in the U.S. since the COVID-19 pandemic was declared a national emergency in March of 2020. Addictions have been one method used to block out, numb, or cope with uncomfortable emotions and feelings. One of the businesses that was deemed an essential business during the pandemic was liquor stores. Therefore, alcohol was easily accessible. When we try to block out our pain and suffering by not allowing ourselves to feel our negative emotions, it can cause a crisis of emotion, experiences, and embodiment. This is referring to the natural ability for us to embody our emotions and to experience them. When we block out our negative emotions, it can also affect our ability to feel the positive emotions of love, peace, and joy. This pandemic has caused many people to reflect upon their lives and decide what's important to them. Some have used it as an opportunity to make changes that improve their lives. Some examine themselves and feel like they haven't accomplished anything significant. They don't feel like they've made a positive difference in anyone's life, and they don't feel their existence has had any meaning. This causes a crisis of meaninglessness, and it can lead to despair and hopelessness. All of these crises can prompt us to look within and examine the meaning of our lives. This personal introspection is likely to occur in relation to a significant life event, like the pandemic. The event will cause you to look at your beliefs about life and how you choose to define your own meaning and purpose through the choices you make. These life events can be viewed as either positive or negative. Negative events typically shatter your concept of how the world works and might include life experiences that cause you to face the reality of your own death and question the afterlife, such as experiencing a major illness or experiencing the death of a loved one, might include suffering from a trauma such as PTSD, abuse, neglect, violence, or a health crisis. It might include reaching a personally significant age that may result in a midlife crisis. Or it might include major life transitions such as divorce, separation, a change in employment status, or an adult child moving out of the home resulting in empty nester syndrome. These events may result in what some call the dark night of the soul. Here's how Eckhart Tolle describes it. He says, some disaster seems to invalidate the meaning that your life had before. The whole conceptual framework for your life has collapsed, the meaning that your mind had given it. This results in a dark place. And then there is a possibility that you emerge out of that into a transformed state of consciousness. It is a death of the ego, the death of the old self, and the birth of the true self. How about you? Do you find yourself in the midst of a dark place right now? If so, there is a light at the end of the tunnel that's prompting you to keep searching until you find what your soul is longing for you to know. The types of positive events that can prompt us to look within and examine the meaning of our lives might include an extremely pleasurable experience, a profound spiritual experience, a new love partner, or a new and different perception of your life and existence. The pandemic has also provided opportunities for positive experiences as well. As a result of being unable to gather in public places, activities were halted that caused family members to disperse in many different directions. Instead, they abruptly stepped off the treadmill of life at its fast pace, and they now were together long enough to have more meaningful conversations. They pursued new hobbies or interests, and they spent more time exploring nature and the outdoors. They developed previously dormant gifts and talents that they didn't have time to express before. One of the positive experiences that the health crisis has provided us is that it has given us time to look within and discern if we are really satisfied with our lives. It gave us a new or different perception of our lives and our existence. Some sought out more fulfilling vocations or careers. Some moved to a new home and in some cases in a new region. Many were able to spend less time commuting due to the ability to work remotely, and this gave them more time to do other things they enjoy. Some people who were single took time to evaluate the qualities they were looking for in a partner, and they made it a priority to search for someone with whom they were compatible to share their lives with. The inability to attend public worship has changed our religious or spiritual lives. It has prompted some to take more responsibility to meet their own spiritual needs within. People are searching for and establishing spiritual practices that are meaningful for them. The pandemic has affected each and every one of us. None of us are immune from the mental, emotional, or spiritual effects of it. And many have experienced the physical effects of it as well. It has provided us with the opportunity for personal introspection and to evaluate our lives, lifestyles, choices, values, and what's important to us. And then we can decide what we will do with this new information. Will we use it to transform our lives? The reason it's important for you to discover how to live your purpose is so that you can recognize the symptoms of an existential crisis and be aware of what you might experience as a result of significant life events. With this new awareness, you can make new choices that transform your life and the meaning your mind has given it. As Tolle described in The Dark Night of the Soul, you can use positive or negative life experiences as an invitation to emerge out of that dark place by dying to your ego, dying to your old way of being that no longer serves you. You can use it to construct a new conceptual framework that works more effectively for you. And you can emerge out of that dark place by transforming your state of consciousness. And as you do, you'll give birth to your true authentic self, and you'll be empowered to create a more meaningful and fulfilling life through the choices you make. As George Bernard Shaw quoted, "Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself." Why listen to me? I was a 16-year-old teenager who didn't fit in with the others my age. While most people my age spent their weekends dating, drinking, or partying, I was pondering the answers to the questions, who created us? How did we get here? Why did we come here? What are we supposed to do with our lives? And what is the purpose of life anyway? The only sources I knew to search for those answers was either within the American culture or within the religious tradition in which I was raised, the Roman Catholic Church. The message I received from my American culture was that the purpose of life is to pursue the American dream. This meant the freedom to seek opportunities for prosperity, success, and upward mobility regardless of social class or circumstances of birth. It is to achieve this through hard work. The message I received from my faith tradition of traditional Christianity promoted that what you need to do with your life is to declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you do, you'll go to heaven, and if you don't, you'll go to hell. I struggled with believing that God would restrict us to one way of thinking and believing. I also struggled with the doctrine of original sin. This concept says that everyone is born sinful and that this is the normal spiritual and psychological condition of human beings. Even a newborn baby who hasn't done anything at all is damaged by original sin. It means people have a built-in urge to do bad things and disobey God. This explained why there is so much wrong in the world created by a perfect God and why people need to have their souls saved by God. They believed it stemmed from Adam and Eve's disobedience to God. This is a concept that St. Augustine wrote about in the 4th century and whose writings influenced the development of Western Christianity. These teachings and messages caused me considerable inner conflict, even at a very young age. I didn't know who to believe, these experts or spiritual authorities, or my own gut feeling that there is something more to life than this. I grew up in a small Midwestern U.S. town in a family that was not financially well off. Despite this, I chose to attend a university, earned a bachelor's degree in business, and paid for it myself. I met my husband there who had a similar background and earned a bachelor's degree as well. We married at 24 years old. We both were able to secure employment that provided us with the ability to support ourselves. We built our first home and had our first child at 25 years old. I worked for a Fortune 500 company right out of college, but hated the culture of a large corporation. So I then switched gears and went to work for a nonprofit organization that was a much better fit for me. I was using my gifts and was fulfilled in my work, but I still felt empty and unfulfilled. Why was this? Even though I had accomplished many significant goals at a young age, I still felt that my life and existence didn't have significant meaning. I was feeling emotional pain, apathy, and confusion, and I was dissatisfied with my life and vocation. The definition of the purpose of life provided by American culture was not satisfying to me. I didn't know it at the time, but I was having an existential crisis at 30 years old and asking, is this all there is to life? There has to be more than this. I was experiencing a crisis of meaning or meaninglessness. It caused me to look at my beliefs about my life and to search for a different definition of meaning and purpose. I needed a new conceptual framework. During the same time in my life, I sought out traditional talk therapy to help me process and heal from trauma I had experienced. It was the pain and suffering that I experienced in my personal life that was the most influential in prompting me to pursue the answers to the bigger questions of my life. Talk therapy helped me mentally. I was still holding on to emotions that triggered me. I was referred to a holistic healer who worked with me to release these emotions energetically from my body, and this accelerated my healing journey. Spiritually, I was struggling with my relationship with God. I wasn't finding satisfactory answers to my questions like, why did God abandon me when I needed God the most? Why does God allow pain and suffering if God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, and is in control over our lives and everything that happens to everyone? Why would God purposefully put innocent people in harm's way if God loves us so much? If God created souls as eternal, why would we be given only one life to live? What's the point of that, especially if a person dies at a young age? Part of the liturgy during Mass was to say these words during the Eucharist. I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. Why would God create us if God didn't think we were worthy of being loved? That feeling of being unworthy of being loved was embedded deep within me. Then, when I was 43, I attended a Christian retreat that became a defining moment in my life. I experienced a profound spiritual healing that I describe as the beginning of my spiritual awakening. It was a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit clearing and healing blockages within me that I didn't even know I had. By the end of it, I felt a sense of profound joy and peace that I had never felt before. When people looked at me, they said, "You should see the look of peace on your face. You are glowing." I was a new person. I had a new lease on life. And then I wondered, what just happened to me? This time, instead of feeling emptiness, it was an extremely profound, positive experience that was prompting me to look within. It caused me to look at my beliefs about my life and to search for the definition of meaning and purpose based on this new experience. My search for more answers then led me on a 12-year journey to understand how the Holy Spirit heals us. And I now felt that it was part of my life's purpose to facilitate this type of healing within others. I sought out answers within my Christian tradition because that was the only place I knew to go. So I attended a Christian university and earned a master's degree in theology and a graduate certificate in spiritual direction. After 4 years of formal study, I still didn't have satisfactory answers to my questions about how God heals us and how that fits in with the purpose of our lives. But it didn't stop me from opening my own private practice as a spiritual director and beginning my vocation supporting people on their spiritual journeys. Then I was led to discover more about the spiritual healing I had experienced. I enrolled in 2 different holistic healing programs and began to learn how the Spirit heals. I was finally starting to get answers that satisfied me. I learned how to be a channel for spiritual energy to flow through me to others to address issues mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And I added this modality to my private practice. I had spent decades of my life searching for answers to the meaning of life through different mainstream methods. I had searched for answers in mainstream talk therapy, life coaching, spiritual direction, formal religion, holistic healing, formal education, informal education, and self-help books since I was 16 years old. I experienced all of these methods and they each helped me to a degree. And I even became a practitioner in some of them and applied these methods with my own clients. It was all part of my soul's journey that led me to the next step. But I intuitively knew that there was a perspective that I hadn't yet found. And I couldn't stop searching until I finally found answers that resonated as truth to me. It wasn't until I discovered the meaning of life from my soul's perspective that I finally received satisfactory answers to my questions about God and God's role in our lives. And this was a turning point for me. I now had the higher perspective that made sense to me and resonated as truth to me. So I learned how to access this perspective from my own soul, and then I learned how to do this for others. So this is a perspective that I will share with you in this book, with the intention that it may be the perspective you've been searching for too. It's a compilation of many different people's viewpoints that works for me. Take what resonates as truth for you and leave the rest. Here's an overview of what we'll cover in this book. Part 1, who are we and why are we here? We'll talk about who are we, why were we created, where did we go after we were created, where do we go after we die, why did we choose to come to planet Earth, what's our purpose for coming here, how can we find out more about our soul's purpose, and why is this important? In part 2, your soul's plan, we'll talk about 7 ways your soul holds the key to living your purpose. And in part 3, the Akashic Records, we'll talk about what are the Akashic Records, who is this for, who is this not for, who has access to them, how can we access them? Who provides the information from the Akashic Records? What information can we discover from the Akashic Records about our purpose? And how does this benefit us? Part 1, who are we and why are we here? Who are we? In order to talk about life from our soul's perspective, we must first talk about what the soul is. The soul is the innermost part of our being that is the spiritual essence of who we are at our core. It is that eternal, immortal part of ourselves that never dies. It is the part of us that is one with God. It's our connection to God. It is the part of us that is in union with God. We were birthed from love and created in an image of God. We are a spark of the divine. God has been defined as divine consciousness or divine intelligence. That is also the essence of our souls. We are individual extensions of our Creator. We are smaller parts of that whole. Astrophysicist Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson was asked, "What is the most astounding fact about the universe?" His answer was, "I look up at the night sky and I know that yes, we are part of this universe. We are in this universe. But perhaps more important than both of those facts is that the universe is in us. When I reflect upon that fact, I look up. Many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big. But I feel big because my atoms came from those stars. There is a dimension of our core of our being that came from the origin of the universe. People with high sense perception can see that it looks like a star. It is described as the light of the eternal essence of each person that exists outside time and space and even outside the soul. It is the unique individual God within each of us. It is the source of the divine that exists in our inner core and is called our core star." Here's a quote by Jean McKelvey. "Tears often follow words that share your truth. They open the cage of denial so your personal spirit can be free." This explanation resonates as truth to me far more than the concept of original sin put forth by St. Augustine that we are bad at our core. Why were we created? There are different philosophies about this, but one that resonates with me the most is that our Creator wanted to experience all aspects of itself. Andrea Hess, founder of the Soul Realignment Program, shares her philosophy that this divine source had no way of experiencing itself until it created unique, individuated expressions of itself called souls. Each soul contains some aspects of our divine source. God created souls to reveal God's character and nature in all of its diversity. Just like God, we experience our divine nature through our own creations. God's vital force energy is what has produced souls and everything else that exists. It's our life force as well. It's what we use to create the experiences we want as souls. The more vital force energy we are able to access, the greater the ability we have to create the life we desire. Where did we go after our souls were created? Not all souls start their journey by coming to planet Earth. There are many places, planes, and dimensions that souls go to experience themselves and their creations. Many souls incarnated elsewhere, both in and outside our galaxy, or other places in the universe. Hess explains that the soul incarnates into a star system right after it is created, and this is called the soul group of origination. This is where they connect with other souls who are vibrationally like them. They share and develop certain traits, qualities, and characteristics while being with other souls who are similar to them. In the Soul Realignment frame of reference, Hess explains that soul groups can be organized into souls who originated within our soul system and star traveler souls who originated elsewhere in the galaxy. Soul groups are named for stars rather than planets when they're located outside of our galaxy. Soul groups within our solar system include Earth, Maldek, and Mars. Soul groups from other star systems include Mintaka, Polaris, Pleiades, Procyon, Sirius, Arcturus, Spica, Vega, and Alpha Centauri. An example of a soul group from a different galaxy is called Mission Realmers. But in Hess's experience, most souls on our planet are Earther souls, meaning their souls came here first. Where do we go when we die? A description of the journey of our soul that has been most helpful for me is one that Dr. Michael Newton describes in his books, Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls. He describes 8 different phases of the soul's journey in the spiritual realm, in the life between lives. The first phase, death and departure. This experience is similar to what people who have had a near-death experience report. The soul feels pulled into a tunnel and they have a euphoric sense of freedom and a personal detachment from their physical body. They experience the power of thought all around them. The second phase is the phase of the homecoming. This is the phase of the journey where the soul's spirit guides, soulmates, and others who have crossed over come to greet the soul. Some people report that they see a spiritual figure like Jesus or a deceased relative coming to greet them. These souls provide recognition, affection, and assurance that all will be well. They help the soul through the transition process. Phase 3 is the orientation. In this phase, the soul meets with their spiritual guides and reviews their life experiences, choices, and consequences. They receive healing and revitalization. Their motivations for making the choices they made are questioned but not condemned. They are held accountable for their choices. They are not punished by going to hell. Phase 4 is the transition and placement phase. The soul is placed with an organized soul support group based on whether they are beginner, intermediate, or advanced souls. They are like-minded souls that have common objectives. They examine their previous lives in a spiritual classroom that looks like a large library. They examine their book of life, which is described as movies of their life. They then evaluate their choices and actions based on the intentions that they set forth for that lifetime. Phase 5 is a life selection phase. In this phase, the soul starts to prepare for the next life with the help of their soul group and spirit guides. They must answer 3 primary decisions. Am I ready for a new physical life? What specific lessons do I want to undertake to advance my learning and development? Where should I go and who shall I be in my next life for the best opportunity to work on my goals? Phase 6 is choosing a body. Great care is taken in choosing a physical body for the next life. The soul chooses a certain body for a reason. The soul spirit guides and soul group help with this in order to help that soul meet its intentions for the next incarnation. Phase 7 is to prepare for embarkation. Other souls who choose to incarnate with us are designated as soulmates or part of our soul group. They help each other accomplish mutual goals. In order for them to recognize each other in the earthly realm, these souls go to a place in the spiritual realm called the place of recognition. This is where signs are placed in their soul's memory in order to jog the person's memory as a human. These are those deja vu experiences we have when we meet someone for the first time and we feel like we've known them forever. In phase 8, this is the phase of rebirth. This is the process in which the soul joins with the human body as it is created. Some souls join with the brain of the body in early or late pregnancy. Some arrive at the last minute during delivery, but this is reported to be unusual. Some arrive early and do a lot of traveling outside the mother's womb during her term. This is similar to experiences people have when they have a near-death experience and their soul hovers above their body and looks down at the doctors working on them. One example of this is described in the book called Heaven is for Real, A Little Boy's Astounding Story of His Trip to Heaven and Back by Todd Burpo with Lynn Vincent. Todd and Sonia Burpo explained how their son Colton had visited the afterlife during a life-saving surgery. He described events that happened before he was born and how he spoke with family members he'd never met. This description of the soul's journey and what happens when we die resonates as truth to me. It is vitally different than the perspective that we have one choice of what to believe and if we don't, we'll go to hell. I offer it as a different perspective or a conceptual framework for you to consider. Why did we choose to come to planet Earth? Earth provides an environment in which our souls can choose to experience their divine nature through a human experience. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin quotes, "You are not a human being in search of a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being immersed in a human experience." Robert Schwartz, author of Your Soul's Plan, explains that we come to Earth to experience a contrast because that is how we come to know ourselves and our divine nature. If we always exist in a place of joy, peace, and love as we do in the spiritual realm, we don't experience contrast and cannot fully come to know ourselves. If you only experience the positive qualities and not the opposite or contrast of them, it is difficult to comprehend or appreciate the positive aspect. The duality of opposites that we experience here on the earth plane helps us to appreciate the positive aspects of life. The pain and suffering we experience allows us to better know and appreciate joy and inner peace. The souls we choose to incarnate with will demonstrate certain qualities or virtues in either a positive manner or one that exhibits contrast or duality. It serves a purpose for us to comprehend and appreciate all aspects of that virtue or quality. Lisa Barnett, author of The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records, explains that our souls particularly love coming to Earth because our personalities enjoy having free will. We love the process of growth through experience. It may appear as a conflict or struggle in our lives, but we have often written it into our soul's plan to create the possibility of growth and learning in a specific area. Schwartz shares in Your Soul's Gift that as a child he was severely emotionally abused by his mother and that he discovered that he planned this abuse before he was born. Why would someone do this? He He explains that as souls, we create life plans that put our issues front and center where we simply cannot ignore them. His soul intended to learn to love himself through the lack of love from his mother. By having someone mirror the opposite or contrasting experience of a quality that we choose to develop, it gives us the opportunity to choose how we will respond. This process causes us to look within and examine ourselves. It's an essential part of our spiritual growth. Our transformation starts when we first become more consciously aware of the emotions that our life challenges trigger within us, such as fear and anger. We can then choose to accept, understand, and make peace with those emotions. We can identify any outdated beliefs we formed as a result of those challenges, and then we can make a conscious decision to form more life-giving beliefs. We can discern who to trust. We can learn how to forgive others. And we can release judgment of and develop a greater degree of compassion for ourselves and for others. What's our purpose for coming here? In my search for satisfactory answers to the meaning of life, I have come to believe that we have come here for several purposes. Number one, to develop virtues and qualities our souls desire. In the description of the soul's journey provided by Dr. Michael Newton above, he refers to this process as what transpires in our life between lives. During phase four, transition and placement, we meet with other souls and spirit guides to review our experiences, choices, and consequences from the previous life. And in phase five, life selection, we discern what specific lessons we want to undertake in the next life to advance our learning and development. These life lessons help us to develop the qualities and virtues our soul has chosen and desires. And we also discern where we shall live and who we shall be in our lives for the best opportunity to work on these goals. This process is called pre-birth soul planning by Robert Schwartz in his books, Your Soul's Gift and Your Soul's Plan. He describes it as a process by which, prior to birth, we have in-depth conversations with our spirit guides and other souls with whom we shall share our incarnation. We discuss the lessons we hope to learn and the ways in which we will learn them. Some of our life challenges are planned prior to birth, not for the purpose of suffering, but for growth. These life lessons promote the growth of our soul's evolution. It helps us to learn to love ourselves and others and to grow deeper with compassion, understanding, and empathy. Here's a quote by Karen Kwan. How beautiful would it be if we could just see souls instead of bodies, to see love and compassion instead of curves? Number two, to grow in conscious awareness. One of the descriptions of God that I have shared was divine consciousness or divine intelligence. According to quantum physics, the universe consists of dimensions of existence. Hess explains that your physical body is your third dimensional aspect. Your mind and ego is your fourth dimensional aspect. Your soul is everything that lies beyond the mind. Essentially, your soul is the fifth through the tenth dimensional aspect of your existence. Dr. David R. Hawkins was the director of the Institute for Spiritual Research, Incorporated, and is widely known as an authority within the field of consciousness research. He developed the map of consciousness. He's written many books about this topic, one of which is called Power versus Force, the Hidden Determinants of Human Behavior. The map shows that our level of consciousness influences the way that we view everything, the world, God, ourselves, our relationships with others, and our life experiences. If our level of consciousness is at the lower level of the map, we will view life from our ego's point of view. We will see ourselves as victims of what happens to us and will blame other people or situations for bad things happening to us. We'll experience emotions of humiliation and despair. We'll view God as vindictive and condemning. As we progress through our soul's journey and evolve in our consciousness, we raise our vibration. As we do, we will attract people and circumstances at a higher level of consciousness that resonate at our same vibrational frequency. There is a critical point at which we become empowered and have the courage to take responsibility for our choices and actions. We begin to view our lives and God from a higher perspective. We will live more from a place of love and peace than from a place of shame, anger, and fear. We will view God as merciful and loving and wise. The universe possesses cosmic consciousness in which all things are global and connected, and the memory of all things extends to all places and to all times, according to Dr. Irvin Laszlo in Science and the Akashic Field. As part of our collective consciousness, there is much talk in spiritual communities that we, as a human collective, are going through a planetary shift from 3D to 5D. Many human beings are going through a spiritual awakening process at the same time and moving into the fifth dimension of consciousness. It is a process of remembering who we are as eternal souls. This means that people are becoming more intuitive and in tune with their inner guidance system. They're able to access more of their high sense perceptions, such as clairaudience, which is clear hearing, clairvoyance, which is clear seeing, clairsentience, which is clear feeling, and claircognizance, which is clear knowing. The more we evolve in conscious awareness, the more our ego surrenders to our soul and allows the soul to lead. Life gets easier when we do this. Here's a quote from an anonymous person. Always trust your instincts. They are messages from your soul. They are that inner part of you that strives to make you whole. Number three, to heal negative karmic patterns. Our souls have a memory of everything that has transpired with them from their inception. All of the events and circumstances we've experienced throughout many lifetimes and in other planes, places, and dimensions are stored in our soul's memory. Our choices and consequences of those choices are also stored in our soul's memory. This is why we can evaluate them in the spiritual realm through the Book of Life. Karma is simply the consequence of our choices. We can change negative karma at any time by making new choices. When we make choices that are aligned with our divine nature, we have greater access to more vital force energy through our physical body. This results in creating more abundance of health, vitality, money, and fulfillment. And when we make choices that go against our divine nature, we experience negative consequences that result in negative karmic patterns. This results in the vital force energy becoming constricted within our physical and energetic bodies. This creates energetic blocks and restrictions, and they limit what we are able to manifest in our lives. They can affect our health and well-being, our vocation or career, our financial status, and our relationships. The results we experience will tell us whether the choices we make are positive or negative. One of our purposes for coming here is to heal these negative karmic patterns. In the example that I provided, I shared that Schwartz said that he planned the abuse he experienced by his mother prior to being born in order to learn self-love. He had a negative karmic pattern from multiple lifetimes of being unable to love himself. Part of his soul's plan for this lifetime, and most likely lifetimes prior to this, was to heal this pattern, this inner wound, and the trauma associated with the abuse. This process involves becoming consciously aware of the thoughts and beliefs we have formed, and then reframing them to be more life-giving, releasing the emotions that are stored in our human energy field related to those beliefs, learning what our soul desires for us to learn from that experience, examining the choices we've made and the consequences of those choices, and then making different choices going forward that align with our divine nature. As we continue this healing process, our soul vibrates at a higher frequency and evolves to a higher dimension of consciousness. Here's a quote by Deepak Chopra. It helps if you remember that everyone is doing their best from their level of consciousness. Number four, to share our soul-level gifts in our own unique way. Our souls have blueprints of how we were designed by the Creator. Our divine soul blueprint tells us what our gifts, traits, and characteristics are and how we're designed to create. Our manifesting blueprint tells us how we are designed to manifest our soul's desires. When we have made choices over many lifetimes that have not been aligned to our divine nature, it has created energetic blocks and restrictions that prevent us from fully accessing and utilizing our gifts. These can be identified and cleared so that we can more freely access our gifts and share them with humanity in a way that we are passionate about. In this example, Schwartz did the inner work of healing the negative karmic pattern he struggled with, the inability to love himself. He identified and cleared the energetic blocks and restrictions, the thoughts, beliefs, and emotions that kept him stuck in this pattern. He examined what his soul desired for him to learn from that experience, which was self-love. As he raised his self-consciousness, his vibrational frequency raised. He was empowered to view his life challenges from a higher perspective. More vital force energy now flowed through his body because it wasn't constricted by the low vibration of those thoughts, beliefs, and emotions. He could more freely access his gifts of communication as a writer and share his story of healing with humanity in a way that he was passionate about. Here's a quote by Charles Bukowski. Can you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be? How can we find out more about our soul's purpose? We can discover all kinds of information about our soul and its purposes through a spiritual tool called the Akashic Records. It's a fifth dimensional spiritual tool because they reside in the fifth dimension. Remember the Book of Life I referred to earlier? That's another name for the Akashic Records. They are described as picture books in which time is condensed and souls can view them by frames as in a movie or in pages as in a book. They are multidimensional meaning that they are alive as if everything is seen in pictures. The intentions of these life books are to provide a format to evaluate our past choices, actions, and consequences. Have you heard a person who has had a near-death experience say that their whole life flashed before their eyes? This is often referred to as their life review. It can be very brief or very detailed. This information is coming from that soul's Akashic record because it is stored there. This life review is similar to what transpires in the spiritual realm in our life between lives. This book of life is referred to in the Christian Bible in Luke 10, verse 20, where it says, "But rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." And it's referred to in the Jewish tradition as the Book of Remembrance. I'll explain more details about these life books in part 3. Why is this important? Why is it important that we find out about our soul's purpose? A study done by Lifeway Research in April 20 of 21 shows that 81% of Americans believe there is an ultimate purpose and plan for every person's life. 68% of people polled said that a major priority in their life is finding their deeper purpose. What is purpose anyway? How do you define it for your life? For the sake of this book, I've adopted the meaning of purpose to have 3 parts. Part 1, it is an intention to accomplish or manifest something. It has a goal towards which we can make progress. Part 2, this goal is self-motivated and meaningful to us because it involves developing and expressing our soul-level gifts and qualities. Part 3, it's motivated by our desire and longing to make an impact in our lives and in the lives of others. We're motivated to contribute to a cause greater than ourselves, serving others in a way that utilizes our gifts and passion. What are the results that we can experience if we live a purpose-filled life? It improves our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being because the more we are aligned with our purpose, the more we are aligned with the abundant creative power of the universe. This results in experiences of a greater degree of creative vital force energy flowing through us. We experience an improved sense of contentment and fulfillment. We feel productive instead of bored or burnt out. We attract opportunities to align with our intentions. We generate a deeper connection to others instead of feeling isolated. And it improves our overall health and well-being, our relationships, and our self-esteem and life satisfaction. A quote by Anthony St. Martin says, "Only when we are in alignment with our soul purpose do we find true joy and inner peace." Here's a summary of part 1. Who are we and why are we here? Who are we? We are souls who are individual extensions of our Creator, birthed from love. Why were we created? Souls were created to reveal God's character and divine nature in all of its diversity. And just like God, we experience our divine nature through our own creations. Where did we go after we were created? Souls connect with other souls who are vibrationally like them. They share and develop certain traits, qualities, and characteristics while being with other souls who are similar to them. These souls are part of our soul group of origination. Where do we go when we die? Our souls follow a journey to the spiritual realm to review our life experiences, discern what we learn from them, and then choose what we want to do next. Why did we choose to come to planet Earth? We love the process of growth through experience and the ability to enjoy free will. We learn best through contrast, and Earth provides an environment that offers contrast and duality. What's our purpose for coming here? I believe there are 4 purposes for us coming here. 1, to develop virtues and qualities our soul desires. 2, to grow in conscious awareness. 3, to heal negative karmic patterns. And 4, to share our soul-level gifts in our own unique way. How can we find out more about our soul's purpose? Through a spiritual tool called the Akashic Records, also called the Book of Life. The intentions of these life books are to provide a format to evaluate our past choices, actions, and consequences. Why is this important? When we live a purpose-filled life, it improves our overall health and well-being, our relationships, our self-confidence, and our life satisfaction, and it makes life worth living. This next section offers you questions for reflection based on the information provided to you in part 1. Feel free to use them to journal with as you'd like. 1, has learning about your life's purpose from your soul's perspective been helpful for you? 2, if so, what was one thing you learned that was most helpful or intriguing? 3, is there anything you learned here that does not resonate as truth to you? 4, if so, how would you describe what you believe? And number five, what questions are evoked within you about your purpose or your soul's journey after reading part one? Part two, your soul's plan. If our soul's purpose is to number one, develop the virtues and qualities our souls desire, and number two, to grow in conscious awareness, number three, to heal negative karmic patterns, and number four, to share our soul-level gifts in our own unique way, then our soul's plan describes the details of how our soul has chosen to accomplish these goals in this lifetime. It lays out the who, what, where, when, why, how, and how much. Here are seven ways your soul holds the key to living your purpose. Number one, who. We choose who we are going to be, our physical attributes, our psychological aspects and temperament, and this includes our gender, our sexual identity, and our personality. Number two, what? We have an infinite number of scenarios that our souls can choose from to accomplish the life lessons and our soul's purposes. We will attract events, people, and circumstances to us that provide the opportunities for our growth and development. As Mandy Hale says in this quote, "People are sent into our lives to teach us things that we need to learn about ourselves." In Your Soul's Gift and Your Soul's Plan, Schwartz gives examples of life challenges and how they can serve a higher purpose from our soul's perspective. He shares examples of what people have learned from their soul's perspective through life challenges. Examples include miscarriage or abortion, being a caretaker of others, abusive relationships, sexuality, poverty, suicide, rape, mental illness, drug addiction, and alcoholism, death of a loved one, accidents, illnesses, and disabilities. As Anton St. Martin says, every challenge of the human self expands the divinity of the higher self. Number three, when. We choose when we will be born. There are spiritual beings who have a role in bringing people, events, and circumstances together throughout our lives to carry out our soul's plan. And when this happens, it is done in divine timing and in a way that is for our highest good. Number four, where. In our pre-birth planning process, we choose where we will incarnate, the schools we will attend, the homes in which we'll live, the geographic locations we want to visit, etc. Have you ever had a feeling that you've been to a certain place before because it feels oddly familiar, but you know intellectually that you've never been there? It could be that you've been there in a past life, or you have a vague remembrance of what was discussed before incarnation. How? We choose how we will respond to our life challenges. We can choose to accept them or resist them. We can choose to have a victim mentality and react with anger, bitterness, or resentment. Or we can choose to view our life challenges from a higher perspective and view them as learning opportunities. We can choose to develop the qualities and virtues our souls long for us to experience, such as love and compassion. Some of the choices we make will have a higher probability than others because they will be based on our past history. Our past choices from this lifetime, as well as every past lifetime here on earth and elsewhere, are recorded in our soul's book of life. The choices we've made in the past will indicate the choices we'll have a tendency to make in the future. The future is simply an extension of our current patterns of choice. Based on our patterns of choice, some events are very likely to occur, while others are probable, merely possible, improbable, or even impossible within certain time frames. Nothing is written in stone because we always have free will to choose our responses to these situations. Our responses will determine the results we get. We can change our patterns of choice simply by course correcting and taking new actions. Our soul's Akashic record can help us to understand how our current patterns of choice will play themselves out in the future. And then we can consciously make choices that align with our intentions and create the future we want. Number six, why? Our life experiences give us the opportunity to experience who we are not and who we truly are as a divine being. We most likely had experiences early on in our lives that provided us with the ability to learn through opposites. Schwartz explains that it is the absence of something that best teaches its value and meaning. From the perspective of the soul, the pain inherent in this learning process is temporary and brief, but the resultant wisdom is literally eternal. The emptiness I felt in my 30s is an example of the absence of something that taught me the value of having purpose and meaning in my life. This pain was temporary because I quickly pursued my search for answers. I discovered that this eternal wisdom resides in my soul. These life experiences help us to awaken to ourselves as a divine being. When we raise our own vibrational frequency as we awaken, we in turn raise the world's frequency. And this provides a healing environment for others to also awaken and to come to know their divine selves. Number 7, how much? We have a tremendous amount of support on our soul's journey from the spiritual realm. There are a multitude of spiritual beings who serve as our helpers and guides during our time here on earth. We have a team of personal spirit guides who are dedicated just to us for this lifetime and are considered to be in our inner circle. We also have angels, guides, masters, teachers, and loved ones who are involved in an intricate system that is designed to support us in evolving in consciousness and experiencing the life lessons that our soul has chosen to experience in this lifetime. We also have support on our soul's journey from others here in the human realm. We choose other souls to incarnate with in order for us to help support each other on our soul's journey. These relationships provide us with opportunities to learn the life lessons our souls have planned. They may be our family members, friends, acquaintances, colleagues, or communities of people we gather with. We create soul agreements or contracts with them to accomplish our goals. They can be personal relationships or professional relationships. Part 2 summary. Our soul's plan includes who we are going to be, including physical and psychological aspects, what we want to learn from the life experiences we have, when we will be born, and with guidance from the spiritual realm, when certain opportunities for growth and learning will present themselves, where we will live to best achieve our goals, why we choose opportunities to attract certain life experiences in order to come to know ourselves as divine beings. And as we do, we provide a healing environment to others to also awaken and come to know their divine selves. How we will have the tendency to respond to our opportunities and challenges based on choices we've made in the past and on our free will. And how much support we will receive from both its spiritual realm and from other souls who incarnate with us. Here are some questions for reflection based on part 2, your soul's plan. Number 1, has learning about your soul's plan been helpful for you? Number 2, if so, what was one thing you found helpful or intriguing? Number 3, is there anything that did not resonate as truth to you? And number 4, if so, how would you describe what you believe? And number 5, what questions are evoked within you after reading the section above? Part 3, the Akashic Records. What are the Akashic Records? The Akashic Records are the book of life that contains the diary of our soul's journeys. It is a story of who we were created to be, everything that has transpired with our souls since they were created, and the possibilities and probabilities for our future. And they can help us to understand our purpose from our soul's perspective. The Akashic Records are like a universal library that can be seen as a universe's supercomputer, a central storage facility of all information. It consists of energy and information. Energy is the hardware of the universe, and information is the software. The information cannot be seen, heard, touched, tasted, or smelled with our physical senses. However, this invisible energy field produces physical effects that can be perceived just as is true for all fields known to science, for example, the gravitational field, the electromagnetic field, and the quantum field. Within the larger Akasha field of energy are individual energy fields or individual Akashic records for each soul. They each have a certain unique frequency, like a fingerprint, encoded into the energies of the universe. The soul's Akashic record is like the modern Wi-Fi internet. We can't see it, yet we can access it and obtain information from it. This is also true of other entities like pets, properties, and businesses. It contains living, changing documents that are updated constantly to reflect changes. They hold an infinite amount of information. Your soul's Akashic record contains an energetic recording of your every thought, word, deed, intent, and emotion from the moment of inception to the end of time. Who is this for? Although everyone has an Akashic record, not everyone will be interested in seeking out information about their soul, its journey, or what their purpose is here. Remember that each soul is on its own journey to evolve in consciousness. Some souls will choose to awaken in this lifetime. As they do, they will move to a higher vibrational frequency and eventually move into the fifth dimension of consciousness. It is at this point on their spiritual journeys that people begin to ask questions about their life and its purpose. This is when they begin to search for answers. If it's part of their soul's plan, they will be led to the Akashic records and divine timing. They will be interested and ready to learn about their life from their soul's perspective. When they do this, this modality works with all types of people from every background. I've met with clients whose vocations are in a variety of industries, for example, education, business, healthcare, real estate, spiritual or religious institutions, financial, retail, childcare, construction, music, and publishing. It works for people of any gender or sexual identity. I've worked with people who are heterosexual, homosexual, transgender, and non-binary. It works for any race or ethnicity. I've worked with people who are African Americans, Hispanic, Asian, Indigenous, and Caucasian. It works for any faith tradition or no religious affiliation. I've worked with people whose faith traditions include Christianity, Buddhism, Native American, Eastern philosophy, Muslim, Goddess, Afro-spiritualist, Wicca, and eclectic. I've also worked with atheists and agnostics. It is for people from any age from 6 months to 90 plus years old. It is for anyone who is searching for answers outside the mainstream and is dissatisfied with some aspect of themselves, questioning the meaning of life. They're feeling like there's something more to life, or they're wanting more contentment and fulfillment. They're desiring improved relationships and connection, and they're seeking a higher calling and to know their purpose. Here's a quote from Oprah Winfrey. It isn't until you come to a spiritual understanding of who you are, not necessarily a religious feeling, but deep down, the spirit within, that you can begin to take control. So who is this not for? Since this is a method that's outside of the norm or the mainstream, many people have not heard of the Akashic Records before. If they're not at the level of consciousness that would be open to this type of information, they typically think it's woo-woo or too out there or weird. So sometimes my clients don't feel comfortable sharing with their friends or family that they're learning about themselves and their lives through their soul's Akashic Record. They've learned to be discerning about what to share and with whom. They're being called to trust their own inner voice, to have the courage to be led by their soul, and not allow other people's opinions to stop them. This method invites people into the process of inner reflection. They are encouraged to examine their thoughts and beliefs, release emotions that keep them stuck, and make different choices going forward that honor their divine nature. Therefore, this is not for people who are unwilling to change or take responsibility for their choices and actions. This is for people who believe they are empowered to create the life they desire. Another quote from Anthony St. Martin. A comfort zone will never be the path to fulfilling your true destiny. If someone is invested in religious teachings that instill fear or shame or not following their teachings, this is not for them. This is based on the perspective that we are birthed in love and empowered to be co-creators of our experiences. It's not based on the teachings that we are bad at our core and therefore we need someone outside of ourselves to save us. Who can access them? In order to access the Akashic Record of another soul, first and foremost, the practitioner must obtain that person's permission. There are some exceptions to this. The practitioner then needs to tune her consciousness to a certain vibrational frequency that is unique to that soul, to its unique energetic fingerprint encoded in the universe. It's like having to tune into a specific radio station for that person's soul in order to perceive the information clearly. I've learned that all people's brains have the ability to tap into these quantum waves or energetic frequencies, but people vary in their abilities to access them and perceive the information. People who have developed their sixth sense or intuitive abilities have a greater ability to access the Akashic Records. There can be negative karmic patterns blocking the practitioner's intuitive abilities. Therefore, it's important to identify and clear out these negative karmic patterns that might be inhibiting their abilities. As they continue to do this, they create a clearer channel within themselves to perceive this information and to send healing energy from their Akashic Record keepers to others. How can they be accessed? There is an art and a science to using the spiritual resource of the Akashic Records. There are different methods taught by different people about how to access them. Each method that a practitioner has learned from a spiritual teacher is unique and typically involves a specific prayer or protocol. In addition to each method having its own unique way of accessing the Akashic Records, they also have their own unique way of asking questions of the Akashic Record keepers about that person's soul, its plan or purpose, or other topics the client is interested in pursuing. They have their own unique way of listening for and perceiving the answers, and of discerning if the information is coming from the Akashic Record or if the practitioner is unsure. They have their unique way of receiving and channeling healing energy from the Akashic Record keepers to that person. Who provides the information from the Akashic Record? There are light beings who have different roles and responsibilities regarding the Akashic Records. They are referred to as the Akashic Record keepers. They all work together to manage the flow of energy and information to us. Linda Howe, author of Discover Your Soul's Path Through the Akashic Records, describes their four different roles. One group, called the Lords, protects the integrity of the Akashic Records and safeguards their corruption. They determine who gains access to the Akashic Records and when that will occur. Each soul has its own particular group of light beings who are referred to as the Masters. They have been with that soul since its inception and will continue throughout time. They support the soul through its journey to awakening throughout many lifetimes. Their role is to help the person expand his or her awareness of its soul's perfection through their human experience. Each soul has a group of light beings who are teachers who are responsible for developing a specific understanding within an individual in that teacher's area of expertise. It might take one lifetime or 21 lifetimes. And once that person has achieved the understanding, that teacher moves on to another person. Then fourth, each soul also has loved ones who it has known in this lifetime who are now deceased. They are assisting that person from the other side by providing comfort, confidence, and encouragement using the qualities natural to them. They support the soul as it connects with the energy of the Akashic Records and uses it to express its purpose and intentions while on Earth. What information can we discover from them about our purpose? Here are seven ways your soul's Akashic Record can help you live your purpose by revealing your soul's plan. Number one, a soul perspective consultation can help you develop the virtues and qualities your soul desires by revealing, number one, what the qualities are that your soul has chosen to experiment with in this lifetime. Number two, how many lifetimes you've lived on planet Earth and how many lifetimes you've chosen these qualities. Number three, in which life areas these qualities are showing up for you. For example, your profession, your finances, your primary relationship, your health and wellness, your personal development, your spiritual development, your friendships, in your family, in your rest and relaxation, in your physical surroundings, and in your community. Fourth, you find out how your soul's contracts with other souls may be playing out in your life. Fifth, whether there are negative karmic patterns that are preventing you from experiencing the positive side of those qualities. And sixth, you'll receive a recommendation on how to clear this negative energy so that you can be empowered to make conscious choices to manifest the positive side of those qualities. You can learn more about this consultation at Barbara Bradshaw's website, barbarabradshaw.com. Go to services and then view life from your soul's perspective. Number two, a trust your inner voice consultation helps you to grow in conscious awareness as you discover how, number one, to listen for divine guidance and discern the voice of God that resides within you. Number two, you'll learn how connected you are to your inner guidance system, how to increase that connection as you grow in conscious awareness, and how to develop trust in your inner voice as you receive guidance from a higher spiritual dimension. You can learn more about that at barbarabradshaw.com. Go to services, trust your inner voice. Number three, in the spirit guide consultation, you'll learn who is supporting you from the spiritual realm. For example, who these spiritual beings are, what their roles are, and how they are working together to support you. You'll learn to grow in conscious awareness of how they are leading and directing you toward a way of life that fosters an inner sense of well-being. And you'll also receive a free guide on how to engage your spiritual support, a quick intro guide to understand how they work with you to manifest your intentions. You can learn more about this at barbarabradshaw.com. Go to services and then engage your spiritual support. Number four, a soul realignment, relationship, or a life situation consultation will serve to heal negative karmic patterns that you are ready to heal. You'll learn, number one, what the negative sabotaging patterns, thoughts, beliefs, or emotions are that are contributing to your circumstances and preventing you from experiencing the life you desire. You'll learn how they are impacting you mentally and emotionally, how they're impacting the creative energy that flows through your body, and you'll learn a specific method to clear those negative patterns mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and on a soul level. And then you'll receive questions for reflection that will help you to explore how these negative patterns are manifesting in your life and how you might be participating in them today. You'll receive healing energy channeled to you from your Akashic Record Keepers that will accelerate the process of clearing the stuck energy. And you'll receive recommendations on next steps to shift these negative karmic patterns. You can learn more at going to barbarabradshaw.com, going to services, and then heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. Fifth, a divine soul blueprint consultation will reveal your soul level gifts and how to share them. It will provide you with a description of, first of all, your unique blueprint of your soul's innate gifts of which you're naturally abundant. Secondly, your soul group of origination and their traits and characteristics. Thirdly, the strengths and challenges of your gifts. And fourth, how to apply these gifts to a vocation or to your retirement. It will also provide you with an assessment of whether there are any negative patterns that are preventing you from accessing and expressing your gifts, and then next steps to clear them. You can learn more at barbarabradshaw.com, go to services, and then discover your soul level gifts. Sixth, The Manifest Your Destiny program is 3 sessions, and that will reveal your soul's unique manifesting blueprint, which is your soul's unique way of manifesting the outcomes you desire. It will reveal what inspired your soul to want to make a change, how to create effective intentions to create the life you desire, how to take effective action steps to manifest your goals and dreams, how to refine your intentions and actions, and then course correct to move toward and attain your goals. You can learn more at barbarabradshaw.com, go to services, and then manifest your destiny. 7, ongoing support. Through spiritual empowerment coaching, you'll receive ongoing support from your soul's Akashic record to get to the root of what keeps you stuck in frustrating patterns, to use a holistic approach to clear issues as they come up, to gain clarity and insight to better understand your life experiences and what your soul wants you to learn, to empower you to consciously align your choices with your soul's design, and then to receive recommendations, guidance, and direction customized for you by your Akashic Record Keepers, as well as healing energy. To learn more, go to barbarabradshaw.com, click on Services, and then Spiritual Empowerment Coaching. Then there is a holistic program if you prefer to engage in a comprehensive approach. You can enroll in the Align to Your Soul's Design program that leads you through my 8-step process to fulfill your purpose using your soul's unique blueprint. It incorporates all of the components above in a systematic way. The first session is to discover your authentic self. Session 2 is to stop the self-sabotage. Session 3 is to grow from diversity. Session 4 is to trust your inner voice. Session 5 is to create a new path. Session 6 is to manifest your destiny. Session 7 is to align your actions, and session 8 is to live your purpose and thrive. You can learn more at barbarabradshaw.com, click on services, and then align to your soul's design. And then there are online courses. I also offer online courses that you can learn about at barbarabradshaw.com and then go to courses. There's an online course right now called 8 Steps to Boost Your Self-Confidence, Trust Your Soul to Guide You. In this 8-lesson self-study course, you'll learn how to break free from negative thoughts about yourself and your body. I offer a holistic approach of spiritual practices for transforming the way you talk, think, and feel about yourself. You'll have the opportunity to meet with me to connect with your soul and tap into its wisdom through individual soul guidance sessions. This will accelerate the process and provide deep healing. Connect your body, mind, soul, and spirit in a positive way and come home to your true self. How does all this benefit us? Using this method to seek purpose, meaning, and fulfillment for your life provides you with a higher perspective, one that comes from your very own soul. It will save you time and money pursuing other methods because this one provides you with a shortcut. You can go directly to your soul to learn, first of all, what your soul level gifts are and how to utilize them in a vocation or volunteering, during your retirement, or in your relationships. You'll learn what the qualities are that your soul has chosen for you to develop. You'll learn how to set effective intentions and goals and what action steps to take that will align with them. This approach helps you to avoid effort because you don't have to spend time using trial and error to figure things out. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach or an all-or-nothing approach. It's a customized approach that reveals information unique to you. It provides healing, guidance, and direction customized for you. You don't have to figure out how to do this on your own. I can do this for you and help you get there faster. This method helps to eliminate or reduce physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual pain because it seeks to address the root cause of issues you are experiencing. Your soul's Akashic Record can identify what the negative karmic patterns are. Your soul's Akashic Record Keepers can help you heal, release, and clear the energy associated with them. And this accelerates the process of healing because they can do it much faster. This results in a greater degree of creative force energy flowing through you, which helps to alleviate pain and suffering. Here's a quote by Caroline Meese. What drains your spirit drains your body, and what fuels your spirit fuels your body. This method empowers you to know who you are at your core, who your authentic self is, and why you're here. It helps you to develop trust in your own inner authority and to speak your truth. It expands your conscious awareness, and as you gain courage and confidence in yourself, you feel more comfortable and at peace. When others see the light that shines through you and the high vibration of love that exudes from you, they will want what you have. They will admire how you have transformed your life. And they too will want to gain confidence, clarity, and self-assurance just as you have. Here's a quote by Imania Margria. Let the beauty radiate from inside your heart to the outside world. Here's a real life example. Bob had a bachelor's degree in marketing. He was a loyal, dedicated, ethical, hardworking employee. He had worked for his employer for 12 years, and they recognized him for his outstanding performance with an award that he received on a Monday. But to his surprise, he was terminated on the following Friday with no legitimate explanation. He was devastated, and he didn't understand what had just transpired. Following that life-shattering experience, he was laid off 4 times over a period of 8 years. He was unemployed for a total of 22 months during that time. This was causing him to lack self-confidence and to have low self-esteem. He felt rejected after being the number 2 choice for multiple jobs he interviewed for. He feared he would be discriminated against for his age and never get hired again. He was wondering, why me? What is the meaning of all this? Where do I go from here? He didn't know it at the time, but he was experiencing a crisis of meaning. Using his soul's Akashic record, we use this 5-step process that empowered him to answer these questions and then create a meaningful vocation. I helped him to 1, discover and express his soul's innate gifts. 2, to identify and remove the roadblocks keeping him stuck. 3, to understand his life challenges from a higher perspective. 4, to create effective intentions and action steps to achieve his goals. And 5, to receive spiritual support to attract opportunities to him. So here's a real life example of how this process worked for him. 1, discover and express his soul's innate gifts. He learned from his divine soul blueprint that he is a highly creative, artistic soul. He is gifted at creating and implementing visions. He has the ability to create spaces that blend beauty with form and functionality. He thrives on bringing balance, order, and harmony to others around him and in his environment. These gifts are evident in his personal life in the way that he has decorated his home and meticulously landscaped his yard. He also is an explorer soul who loves to travel the unbeaten path, and this is lived out through his love of planning and executing vacations and documenting them with beautiful photographs. Professionally, his divine gifts are expressed through his ability to manage complex projects and launch new products to the market. He expresses his divine nature through his gift of communication when he has opportunities for public speaking and for training others. Discovering what his soul's innate gifts are affirmed for him that his career has been aligned with his gifts. It gave him confidence to continue to seek employment in the industry he had been in, doing the kind of work that he loved, that he was experienced at, and he was skilled in. Here's a quote by Leo Buscaglia. Your talent is God's gift to you, and what you do with it is your gift back to God. 2, identify and remove the roadblocks keeping him stuck. Next, he learned what the shadow side of these gifts were that were caused by energetic blocks and restrictions. In order to maintain balance, harmony, and order, he avoided arguments or intense situations. He sacrificed his needs for others. He didn't ask for help. He strived for perfection and felt he always needed to do things the right way. This resulted in feeling disempowered, not standing up for himself, giving in easily and becoming resentful, feeling victimized, and being overly responsible for others. He gained a conscious awareness of these behavior patterns and how his choices and actions were perpetuating them. We identified and cleared the energetic blocks and restrictions that were contributing to this negative karmic pattern. He learned that it actually started in a past life and was playing out in this lifetime as well. He gained deeper understanding of himself as a divine being and over time was able to make different choices that aligned with that. Here's a quote by Marianne Williamson. The soul is the truth of who we are, the light, the love, which is in us. Michelangelo said that when he got a statue, he would go to the quarry and get a big piece of marble. And the way that he had imagined it was that God had already created the statue. His job was to get rid of the excess marble. That's what we're like. Inside is the being that God has already created. Some call it the Christ, the Buddha, the light, the soul. Our job is to get rid of our excess, useless fears and thought forms of the world that actually hide the light of the soul. 3, understand his life challenges from a higher perspective. He learned from his soul's Akashic record that 3 of the qualities or virtues his soul chose to develop in this lifetime were receiving, self-worth, and perseverance. The life challenges that he experienced related to his employment was providing him with the opportunity to develop these qualities. It forced him to ask for help from others and to be open to receive help. The advice he gave to others on his same journey was to never turn down an open hand. Even if you have a connection in a target company, don't turn down the offer from someone for another connection. You never know where a referral will lead you. Viewing life from his higher perspective helped him to reframe his beliefs, which then improved his self-worth. He shared, "If you get it rejected in the final round, know that you have the skills and the drive, but someone else may align better culturally." He learned how to navigate intense situations. He shared, "Job search changes you and your family. The stress will alter you no matter how much you think it doesn't. You do change. Denial isn't the answer. Ignoring it is like ignoring cancer. What determines the character of a person is not how many times the world knocks you down. It is how many times you get up. To grow, you must fail. To lead, you must continue." So throughout this process, he was learning perseverance. Learning some of the qualities his soul had chosen for him to develop in this lifetime helped him to know his purpose in a whole new way. He gained insight and a new perspective. He understood why he was attracting certain people and experiences into his life. He was able to observe the consequences of his actions and his choices. Here's a quote by Debbie Ford. "The soul is the core of who we are that is eternal. It never dies. It carries all the lessons and the messages that we've learned in the past, and it will carry them into the future." Number 4, create effective intentions and action steps to achieve his goals. Then we access his soul's Akashic record to find out what his manifesting blueprint was. This is how he is designed to manifest the outcomes he desires. When he was asked to write an intention for the type of employment he was seeking, it was at first very general. It was, quote, "to focus on getting a well-paying job that I love," unquote. After learning what his manifesting blueprint was, he was empowered to create more specific intentions and action steps that were aligned with his visions and goals. He used this information when he specified his desired salary range, the date he wanted to start, who he wanted to work with, and how he wanted to use both his gifts personally and professionally. Number 5, receive spiritual support to attract opportunities to him. He also learned about the support he is receiving from the spiritual realm. He learned that his intentions are powerful because this multitude of spiritual helpers can magnify our prayers, requests, and intentions. The clearer we get on what it is we want to manifest, the easier it is for the spiritual realm to help us. Be prepared for unexpected possibilities. Open yourself to a variety of paths. Leave the how to the spiritual realm because they can connect you with people and opportunities. They can provide guidance and direction and can manifest what appears to be coincidences. Once we were clear on what his intentions and action steps were, he shared these with his spiritual helpers and put them out into the universe and asked for their assistance. What were his results? We started this process in the month of May that year and went through the 5 steps by October, 5 months later. Shortly thereafter, he was contacted directly by a hiring manager for a large company in his industry who searched and found him through LinkedIn. He was asked to interview for a position in which he had much experience. He attended multiple interviews for the position and was offered it at the end of the 3-month period. It was a great fit for him because a large part of his job is to create new business relationships. He has the opportunity to train others and speak publicly. He can express his artistic gifts through creating attractive PowerPoint presentations. He frequently plans and executes travel itineraries, and his Explorer Soul is launching another new product in the industry. Personally, he is still enjoying planning and going on vacations to interesting destinations. He is nurtured by the beauty he sees and captures it in photographs. He loves his job, the company, and the people he works with. He is fulfilled utilizing his innate gifts and talents, and this vocation gives him a meaningful purpose, and he can see how his life challenges have helped him to grow. Part 3, Summary. What are the Akashic Records? They are the book of life that contain the diary of our soul's journey. It's the story of who we were created to be, everything that has transpired with our soul since it was created, and the possibilities and probabilities for our future. Who is this for? It's for all types of people from every background who are on the spiritual journey and have moved into the fifth dimension of consciousness. They are seeking answers to the bigger questions of life. They will hear and follow the call when prompted in divine timing and learn about their soul and their purpose through the Akashic Records. Who is this not for? It's not for people who are not yet ready to hear this information. It's not for people who are unwilling to change or take responsibility for their choices and actions. And it's not for people who are invested in religious teachings that instill fear or shame for not following their teachings. Who can access them? People who have developed their sixth sense, intuitive abilities, or high sense perception. They make it a practice to clear the negative karmic patterns that can be inhibiting their ability to perceive the information accurately so that they can be a clear channel. How can we access them? Each method has its own unique way of accessing the Akashic Records, using a certain method that the practitioner has learned from a spiritual teacher. It typically involves a specific prayer or protocol. Who provides the information from the Akashic Records? There are groups of light beings who have different roles and responsibilities for managing the flow of energy and information between the Akashic Records and us. What information can we discover from the Akashic Records about our purpose? I have described 7 ways your soul's Akashic Record can help you live your purpose by revealing your soul's plan. You can learn about all of them by going to barbarabracho.com and clicking on services. How does this benefit us? This method saves you time and money because you can go right to your soul to find the answers. It frees you up to pursue your passions and purpose. It helps you avoid needless efforts because you don't have to spend time using trial and error to figure things out. It's a customized approach unique to you. It eliminates or reduces mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual pain because it seeks to address the root cause of issues you're experiencing. Through this process, you'll feel more comfortable and at peace as you gain courage and confidence in yourself. And others will admire how you've transformed your life, and they'll want to have what you have when they see you glow. Here's a quote by Rumi. "And you, when will you begin that long journey into yourself?" Here are some questions for reflection based on part 3, the Akashic Records. Number 1, do you believe that your soul has led you here to learn about the Akashic Records and your soul's purpose? If so, congratulations for honoring that call. Describe your spiritual journey that has led you here. Number 2, which areas of your life would you like to focus on first? Your relationships, vocation, health and well-being, an abundance mentality? What would you like to improve and why? Number 3, if you could ask your soul's Akashic Record keepers anything you wanted, what would be your questions? Conclusion. We have chosen to be born at this time in history. The spiritual awakening that is now occurring is a global phenomenon. People are realizing that there is more to life than money, material status, or worldly success, and that it's not bringing them fulfillment or life satisfaction. The global pandemic has caused us all to step back from our frenetic lifestyles and reevaluate what's important to us. People are searching for more purpose and meaning for their lives. Here's a quote by an anonymous person. "In a world where everyone wears a mask, it's a privilege to see a soul." Souls have chosen a human life at this time because they want to finish up their own unresolved business. There are many evolved souls who are clearing old pain and trauma from past lives on Earth right now. They are seeking greater self-awareness and self-expression. When each individual soul does their own inner work, they evolve in consciousness and it raises their vibration. As a result, it raises the vibration of humanity as a whole. This makes it easier for others to pick up that vibration and be inspired by it to do their own inner work. Be in awe that you have chosen to be here on Earth at this time. Consider the fact that you were led to this information right now because your soul has most likely planned a spiritual awakening for you in this lifetime. It's guiding you and directing you on your spiritual journey. Your soul has a purpose for coming here. It created a plan for fulfilling that purpose. The universe contains a spiritual resource for you to tap into to discover your soul's plan and purpose, and it's called the Akashic Records. It's your own book of life. Not only does it provide valuable information to guide you and help you make decisions, but the universe has also gifted you with light beings who are dedicated to accompanying you on your soul's journey. They are your Akashic Record keepers, spirit guides, and angels. They are behind the scenes making things happen to help you carry out your soul's plan. They are thrilled when you become aware of them. They are powerful healers who are eager to gift you with the healing that your soul desires. It's my mission to help other people just like you find the answers and the healing that you're seeking. It's my soul's passion to support you on your journey of self-discovery and deep healing. It's my soul's purpose to utilize all that I've learned from my life experiences, education, and deep inner work to empower you to connect with the wisdom that resides in your soul to do the same. It will be my joy to support you on your soul's journey to awakening. Blessings on your journey to live your purpose and thrive. Here are some recommended next steps. If you're ready for your soul to guide you on your journey, are you wondering what your next steps are? May I make a recommendation for you? I suggest that you experience the Soul Perspective Consultation, part one of that I referred to earlier. And you can learn more if you go to barbarabracho.com, click on services, and then go to view your life from your soul's perspective. In part one of this consultation, you'll learn, first of all, what the qualities are that your soul has chosen to experiment within this lifetime. You'll learn how many lifetimes you've lived on planet Earth and how many lifetimes you've chosen these qualities. You'll learn in which life areas these qualities are showing up for you. For example, in your profession, your finances, your primary relationship, your health and wellness, personal development, spiritual development, friendships, family, rest and relaxation, physical surroundings, and community. You'll learn how your soul's contracts with other souls may be playing out in your life. You'll learn whether there are negative karmic patterns that are preventing you from experiencing the positive side of those qualities. And you'll receive a recommendation on how to clear this negative energy so that you can be empowered to make conscious choices to manifest the positive side of those qualities. I look forward to welcoming you to this global phenomenon to awaken and live your purpose. May you experience greater joy, abundance, and fulfillment while creating and living a passionate, purpose-filled life. Check out the works cited and the helpful resources at the end of this book. I have many resources that I found helpful on my spiritual journey about death and dying, near-death experiences, life between life case studies, reincarnation, history, research and autobiographies. There's information about the Akashic Field and the Akashic Records, about pre-birth soul planning, and about evolving in consciousness.
About the author. Barbara Bradshaw is a soul purpose coach and holistic healer who empowers highly conscious spiritual seekers, creators, and leaders to express their soul's innate gifts and understand their life's experiences from their soul's perspective. She began questioning the meaning of life at 16 years old and then spent decades searching for answers through numerous traditional mainstream methods. She first looked into the American culture's definition of purpose as living the American dream, but wasn't satisfied. Then she sought the answers to life's purpose and how God heals through her Christian faith tradition by pursuing formal education. She earned a master's degree in theology and advanced certifications in spiritual direction and energy medicine. She applied these modalities to her own life and with her clients in her private practice as a spiritual director and holistic healer. It wasn't until she learned about her life's purpose and how God heals from her soul's perspective that she finally found satisfactory answers that resonated as truth to her. She then earned advanced certifications in soul-level healing and reading the Akashic Records. It is her soul's purpose to share this perspective with others and to support them through their spiritual awakening. Barb lives in a suburb of Minneapolis, Minnesota with her husband. They have two adult children and are blessed to live close to them and their families. Barb enjoys camping, spending time at their lake home, and creating photo books of time spent with their grandchildren. You can learn more about her services at barbarabradshaw.com.